There we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show, and you coming along. Who knows? You could be letter of the day. That's Teeny's job to pick that letter of the day. Great honor bestowed upon you and your family. It is non-transferable, by the way. And all you got to do is, well, just say something funny or interesting or whatever floats Teeny's boat. Mention potato. You might move to the top of the list. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew says that's a waste of time. You go to the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-54.
My dress and my hair.
No, 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 Teeny. No, we're talking about the letter of the day. Letter of the day.
Oh, really?
Diving in.
Oh, you're real.
Oh,
really?
No, really?
I was yelling while I was in midair. I was glad I didn't get a big mouthful of that water, Sherry.
Really? Got to be careful.
Breaking news. Bob Ferguson issues statement after high-capacity magazine ban is ruled unconstitutional. California said, that's arbitrary. Why 10 rounds? You can't inhibit someone's ability. You can't infringe upon someone's self-defense rights. The Supreme Court basically in 2017 and later made other rulings when they looked at the ability to have self-defense in the United States. You can't just all of a sudden you could have 5 rounds or 9 rounds. You can't have more than 10 rounds. Bob Ferguson pushed this thing, Inslee pushed it through. Oh, they're going to save all these lives. Nah, if you haven't, the death rate, the homicide rate continues to climb in the state of Washington, and most people are not firing 10 rounds, 20, 50 rounds at somebody, firing 2 rounds at somebody. So they come in, and I know Bob probably has a reaction to this, but what did the ruling say, Sherry, the ban?
Yeah, so this is a gun store, I guess, that has been targeted because they say that they've been using or they've been continuing to sell guns that are now illegal.
Magazines.
Mm-hmm. So what happened was the court said, no, that's not true. They upheld the whole thing about, you know, not being able to use this as a reason. And so what happened was Bob Ferguson has said that he absolutely is going to challenge this. He said today's decision is incorrect, and we will immediately file a motion asking the state Supreme Court to keep this public safety law in effect. Every court in Washington and across the country to consider challenges to a ban of the sale of high capacity magazines under the U.S. or Washington Constitution has either rejected that challenge or has been overruled. This law is constitutional. It is also essential to addressing mass shootings in our communities. This law saves lives, and I will continue to defend it.
Right. Because we keep passing laws because God knows criminals really think twice about shooting and killing people when you pass all those laws. The only people that obey laws are law-abiding citizens. So when someone has 10 or 15 rounds and they're target practicing or whatever they're going to do, they want to be able to have the right to defend themselves. But Bob Ferguson wants you to not be able to have that right because somehow he believes that, again, criminals obey laws. Criminals don't. That's the very definition when they raise their right hand and swear that they will not obey any law, regardless of what law comes along. By the way, some bad news for Mr. Ferguson. This is a poll that had come out. Reichert holds a 9-point lead over Bob Ferguson in a two-way ballot, 39-30, slightly ahead of Ferguson on the full ballot, 28-23. Notably, Reichert holds a stronger advantage in suburban by a 10-point lead and rural in a 12-point lead. And apparently they did a pretty good job with this poll because I called ahead and said, is this one of these things you're just talking to Republicans? Apparently not. Maria Cantwell leads Garcia in the Senate, 44-36. However, Garcia holds a 6-point lead over Cantwell among non-white voters. So some bad news for Mr. Ferguson. If you loved Inslee, you're really going to love Bob Ferguson. So Bob's fighting for criminals to only have large capacity magazines. That's how that one would square up. And again, here's what you do. The magazines, they put a little screw in there so the spring can't go down, so you can only hold 5 or nine or whatever. Just take screw out high capacity magazine, or just buy them online in Idaho or some other state that will allow you to protect yourself or hunt with more than five rounds. So high capacity magazine, this idea that if we get rid of those, we'll save more people from all of the mass shootings that are occurring. Not the case, but it polls well with white liberals that dominate King County. They really feel those types of laws are going to keep them a lot safer. Mm-hmm. So he's got to defend it. Now the new world's oldest man. Oh, my God. Did they talk to the guy and ask him, like, how did he live so long?
Yeah, of course.
If I ever had a chance to interview the oldest person, I would not ask that question. They're waiting for it. You know, what do you attribute to your long age?
I drink prune juice.
It's like, okay, thank you. Let me write that down with all the, right. I drink wine every day, you know. I never move my bowels except on the, you know, the third right. week of every month. I mean, some dumb thing. Oh, that's what it is.
And that's why they can make a headline out of it, because it's like, I've never painted my nails. Oh, woman attributes no yeah. nail polish to long life.
Do we even have sound on this
no,
guy saying any of that stuff?
No.
Oh, well, we just filled in all the blanks. What did he say? So he says the key is not doing too much of anything.
Yeah. So everything in moderation, blah, blah. He never smokes. He rarely drinks. He follows no special diet. And he said don't do too much of anything, including walking, exercising, all that stuff. Just keep a low profile.
I got it. Okay.
Oh, and he eats fish and chips every Friday.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How about show tunes? For some reason, Andrew wanted to torture people with this. She just threw this in the queue here.
That was me. That was my doing, and it'll make sense later, but not now.
Okay, fine. I won't play it now. A 7-year-old Alabama girl raises $10,000 for her mother's headstone with a lemonade stand. Sweet story. I guess her mom, the little girl's mom, had passed away, and she wanted to raise the money. People heard about it, and she went into the refrigerator and got, I think, 4 lemons or something and went out there. And then, of course, through social media, word spreads, people came by. And now the good news for this girl who's mourning the loss of her mother, $10,000 raised.
Yeah, $10,000. And even a statue company has offered to build the headstone for her. So they've got all kinds of donations, food, clothing, a lot of medical people donated. It was a very sad story. She was living with her mom and her grandmother, and the mom died suddenly. She was 29.
I have told the story before, but so hold on. Angry man. Go ahead. Yell it out now. Heard it. Move on. Go ahead. Say it. Heard it. Move on. No.
What? No.
So
what?
I go to have dinner with you heard it for sure. Go to have dinner with my friend Bill, and I said, "Hey, you want to have dinner tonight?" No, I'm coming back from Okanagan. I how about the next thing? Fine. Have dinner with him. He's in his 80s, mid 80s. I said, "Bill, what are you doing in Okanagan?" He goes, "Well, I go there 4 times a year. We grew up in Okanagan, dirt floor poor. I mean, poor, poor, poor. Everybody in Okanagan, very poor. We had lived in a little shack. My aunt lived in a little part of the shack next to us. And she used to say, Billy, when I die, I have money in this drawer that's in the top drawer of where it's at the very top of my bureau. And I've got a little box there, a little velvet box. I put all my spare change in there because, Billy, I want to have a nice gravestone. I want to have a nice gravestone, Billy. So that's where the money is. If I suddenly die, make sure people know I want a nice gravestone. So Billy and his friend says, hey, let's get some candy. Go down to the little general store there in Okanagan. Of course, everybody knew everybody. And this is in the late 30s, 40s, somewhere in there. The boys were laughing, running around the store because Billy went in and reached into the box and took a $5 bill. Imagine a $5 bill was what the value of that was, right, in the 1940s. Sure. And they're going around the store, and the old man that owns the store goes, what are you kids doing over there? What do you got there? And he had $5. Well, the guy was immediately suspicious. Oh, my mom and dad gave us this, Bill said to the man that ran the store. We're here to, he goes, I thought of something that was expensive. We need batteries. So they buy the batteries. They have enough money to get candy. And he says, so, you know, I got the candy. So I go there 4 times a year. I get in the car and drove to Okanagan to clean off my aunt's gravestone. I tend to it. I care for it. I flowers and clean it up. I said, every year? He goes, every year, yeah, yeah, because it really bothers me. It bothered me that I took the money from her, and they now she's got the biggest GD gravestone you'll find west of the Mississippi. So he took his money, made sure she had a good gravestone. The idea of, like, you know, caring for her, and it still bothers him to this day.
It's amazing what you think of. I have a friend that her mom lived with her till she was 104. Mm-hmm. And she sacrificed everything. I mean, she took care of her. She spent all of her money on her. It was everything. And when she died, she said, I can't get this one thought out of my mind. My mom wanted a new hairbrush, and I didn't get her one fast enough.
Hmm.
And after all she's done, after everything she was able to do, she still held on to that one thing she didn't think she did for her mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's the same thing that goes on in the story, whether it's true or not, about the man and the woman after dinner. They would walk down the street past this store, and there's a red dress in the window. She'd always stop and look at her husband and say, come on, what are you doing looking at that dress again? Where are you going to wear something like that? I just love the color red. It's just such a beautiful dress. It was always in the window as they take a walk after dinner. And, oh, you don't need that. And he'd hush, you know, rush her by the window. And we're not going to stop and look at that dress again. And as the story goes, again, whether apocryphal or not, that he buried her in the red dress, right? There's always the regrets of that stuff.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, good news for you, Sherry. A pig kidney transplant patient leaves the hospital after successful surgery. So you're not going to need mine. You're not going to be my kidneys. Don't be sniffing around
like
looking for
mine. Better news for you than for me.
You like animals.
Well, I know, but you were the one that really have resisted giving me a kidney. So now you can be relieved if I've got a pig waiting for to give me one.
Well, that way everybody wins. Pig gets the recognition. You get a kidney. I get to keep mine. The fact that I offered my kidney, that's still
well. You part offered, of the then you didn't offer, and then Joe had to offer, and you thought that let you off the hook because I don't need two. So yeah,
still stands. By the way,
thank you, Joe.
But
Joe's
forgot
cool. He wears cool stuff.
Well, you've got the last part of it. Then I was mad that you were going to choose Joe's over mine.
Okay, well, of course.
You also demanded to be in the operating room, I believe.
Right.
And hand the kidney over to the lady with the thing like, whoa, what's this, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, listen, the point of it is that I very selflessly offered my kidney to you. And then right after I offered it, because nobody ever expects anybody to take anybody up on that offer. Nobody. It's like, oh, if I ever need a kid, oh, fine, don't worry about it. Right, sure, you make those offers. Hey, let's do dinner sometime. You're never going to, let's get together and have coffee. You know you never really have to, right? Right? Oh, we'll have to get together, get the kids together. No, that never comes through. Same thing with kidneys. It's somewhere on the list of promises you make that you never have to be held to. And then within the same breath, right after that, then you quickly just drop this bomb on me that you've got a kidney disease. You should have said that right off the top, because then I could have easily given you sympathy, you know, bought you a hairbrush or something or a red dress. But no, then all of a sudden it's like you trap people. You sort of act like kidney donations, and then you mention that, and then it's like, well, there's no way out, right? So then,
well, I deeply apologize for my disease and how it made you uncomfortable. I know that was terribly unfair of me to tell you that I had a life-threatening disease, by the way, and then not to, you know, acknowledge your feelings about what you were forced to offer or what you had just offered.
Right, because when the story would finally be told, let's say I did acquiesce and follow through with the empty promise of giving you my kidney, part of the story would then be overshadowed by your disease. It'd be like, oh, Sherry had this. It was life threatening. She was going to die. She get this kidney. Who gave her the kidney? Curly. Oh my God. So how close to death was she? See how it quickly goes right over. I don't get any of the credit on the thing. Then it's
I'm
like,
really
how's Sherry doing?
Story.
Yeah, how's Sherry doing with Curly's kidney? I would always want to be like included in your internal organs.
Yeah, I know. It is difficult to make this about you, and I'm really sorry about that.
What else do you need?
Again and again. Okay.
You need an appendix? I still have my wisdom teeth. How about I give you that instead?
I have mine too. I have five of them.
Five wisdom teeth and a third nipple? You got all the extras.
Put it like that. I got in line several times. I don't know. I just have five.
Okay. All right. This one extra one you don't even need. You could give that away to somebody. They could make a necklace out of it.
If it was my grandmother, she'd say, "That's why you're so wise."
Okay, leave it there. The Seattle teacher, who is famous for being infamous for saying stuff like supporting Hamas and a big socialist, and I'm sure the classroom is all full of wonderful ideology. And we don't have time for this. We don't have time for it. We don't have time. We'll save it for tomorrow, because this guy's not going anywhere, right? If you were to say something like this, he's shocking defense of Hamas, the heinous acts against Israeli, making headlines again in his response to a reporter asking him if the murder and rape of the women October 7th was justified. Whew. How is he going to answer that? Well, you probably guess. So that's why they're being nude. We'll save that one for tomorrow, Joe.
Oh, that's a tease.
No good. It's not all gassy. Because Sherry was all going back to her kidney again. How are you feeling? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. For now.
Oh, here we go. can you hang on through traffic? We got another two hours to show.
By a thread. But yes, I can.
Okay.
I can.
All right, because Joe's standing by with a scalpel. Ba-ba-ba-ba. All right, Joe, why did you put all the Sondheim stuff in there? Huh?
That'll come up in the letters.
Oh, in the letters. Okay, fine. Lauren Culp. Yeah. I don't quite know why this guy keeps getting news. I guess the folks on the left, Seattle Times, that's you. Danny Westney, that's you. They like to bring this guy up as an example of, like, crazy people that liked Trump who say crazy things. And, oh, he's a Republican, so all Republicans are crazy like Lauren Culp. So they just basically lift a bunch of stuff that he talks about, outrageous, ridiculous things that he says, and it's like, oh, here you go. Here's a nutcase, Lauren Culp. Like, he's irrelevant. I mean, why is he even in the news anymore? Is it to remind us that there's people out there that hold these views?
I think the news part of this is that the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs started the expulsion process against him. And he thinks that's significant because, I mean, it's still one of their own, right? So to do that is kind of a big deal.
Right. They don't want to be associated with him, right?
Right.
I was thinking about Trump and his populist points of view. Somebody like that comes along. You know, there's a law in physics for every action. There's an equal and opposite reaction. So when you get far extreme left, as we have in this country, then what it does is there's a genesis that occurs on the other side to push from the far, far right and the far, far left and far, far right. And then you get someone that represents that populist point of view to push back on all of the stuff that's coming out of the left. Lauren Culp sort of from that, and then saying outrageous things that people around you that tell you, oh, that's a good thing to say, and no one's going to be offended by that. And, you know, they just give enough rope to hang himself with. But he's back in the news, and the people that are part of the Washington State Troopers, they don't want to necessarily be involved with the guy. The sheriffs don't want to be involved with him, so they're just sort of saying, nope, we're closing circle and kicking him out the other way.
Yeah.
So, and then so Brandi Cruz said, yeah, liability. Then Brandi Cruz at Undivided, I guess she went on and talked about her. She says, I'm a firm defender of law enforcement. I always have been, but Lauren Culp is too mentally unstable to have a badge and a gun. Whew. And then Lauren
Culp. You didn't like that.
No. Well, look at Miss Holier Than Thou. I guess that's Sherry's. I guess that's Brandi's nickname. Telling people to blank off. What a bee. This is what they do. They attack the messenger, but they never address the issue. Let me say that again. Never address the issue.
What was the issue?
I don't know what the issue is.
Oh, okay.
But she's holier than now. What did Dory Monson say about Riker? And then talks about that stuff. You know, this thing is like, if you have enough people around you that tell you, oh, yeah, you're great, the stuff you believe is great, and then you're like, oh, I'm great. And then he always thought the Republican Party didn't give him enough of a, help him out enough and cut his feet out from underneath him. And, you know, you get people that run for office, and he represents, you know, a small, tiny section of people that have those views. And obviously the majority of people that were voting rejected him. So Lauren Culp's still going. Like, where do you end up with that populist points of view? That's it. So Brandy stepped in and then takes a shot at him, right? She takes a shot at Lauren Culp, but he shoots back. Miss Holier Than Thou. I asked Brandy if she had any sound on it. She said no. Text her before the show.
Is she going to issue a rebuttal to his rebuttal?
No. Oh, more from Lauren Culp. I called Brandy Cruz a boy, a duh, Tom Charles Henry. Oh,
yeah,
he spelled it out.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine.
That's very policey of him.
Yeah, fine. Jeez. The latest polls show Donald Trump losing the popular vote by 2%, but sweeping again with the Electoral College and winning. The toss-up states, he's getting them. Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Florida, Colorado. He is polling ahead, as it is right now, because now 82% of Americans, when polled, both Republicans, Democrats, and independents, Joe Biden's too old. Joe Biden's not going to get any younger, and that's an issue that's still with him, so he's still there. Kamala Harris, I read an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal today saying, you know, the most brilliant moves, whether he meant to or not, putting Kamala Harris in there with him, basically keeps Joe in office, because they would never get rid of him. They wouldn't go on the 25th and say the 25th Amendment and get rid of him. He stays in because she is basically, you know, his best defense, because you don't want to replace him. And then you get Kamala. Mm-hmm. So they kick out of him now. But maybe at the time of the convention coming up, maybe he bails out and then somebody else, they choose somebody else. Other
That's
than
Ted
Kamala
Cruz's
Harris.
Theory. He thinks Michelle Obama is going to parachute in at the convention.
No, I think that's
happen.
No. I think he said that a while ago. She doesn't want to do that. She's making way too much money, producing movies, giving speeches. They have far too rich a life right now. She could be influential, but I don't think she wants to be in there. But get ready, because if Donald Trump wins, what does it mean for the country? Of course, the left will do everything they can to destroy him. He might keep the Senate. If he gets the Senate, keeps the Senate, he probably loses the House, but at least he's got the Senate, which will stop them from getting rid of the filibuster. And he could get a few things done. But this interesting article in the Journal said, another editorial today said, the best thing he could do is reverse the executive power action, which is unconstitutional, as Barack Obama said, well, if it doesn't pass to the House or Senate, I've got a phone and I've got a pen. The number of executive orders, which is bypassing the legislative branch of the government, and just by edict, by authoritarian power, we're going to forgive billions of dollars of student loans. We're going to, create all sorts of laws and regulations when the president of the United States, it's not his job. The best thing that Trump could do, he only has 4 years that he's in there, he should basically just blow up that bridge and get rid of executive powers, stop that, and close the door and force everything back to the branch of the government that is responsible for writing laws, rather than trying to supersede them at all with the executive branch things. Because what happens is the president goes in there, oh, it's going to be this and this and this. The next president comes in and wipes out all of that sort of stuff. She just keeps bouncing back and forth and back and forth. Just have folks in the House and the Senate write the laws and have the president of the United States, the executive branch, enforce those. And that's it. But if Trump really wanted to do something great for the country, he would close that, and no longer would that be available, and it wouldn't be abused, because it's not constitutional. And that could be a great thing he could do for the country. Yeah, take it out from away, even away from himself. And that would be a great service.
I don't think he'll ever do that, because that's a source of power for him, and he's not one to give up power.
I know. So it's outside of who he is. But again, if he loves America, make America great again, let's put it back in the hands of the people that we are electing and stop with these executive orders.
because but don't you think
that's not the way it's set up? Just not right. Why do I send my gal or gal, guy or gal to Congress to write the laws, and then no, either all these agencies come up with this, EPA and the FCC. That's not their job because we can't remove them. We have no power to remove them. The way it's set up with the three branches is brilliant if it could function that way. So I'll forgive college loans, and then the Supreme Court will say I can't, and then I'll find some other way to do it so that I can buy votes from young people. It's not the way it's supposed to go. So that would be great if Donald Trump went in there and closed the door and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. The freshest eggs anywhere around, the best. That's Wilcox. Sherry and I were talking about Wilcox eggs. I was texting you while I was on the plane there, Sherry, and you were making sure I got some Wilcox eggs, didn't you, huh? Okay, you there? I shocked you. You there? You with me?
Yeah.
You don't need that kidney, do you?
I'll keep you posted, but I'll let Joe know first.
I'll either roll my major, being the guy who's pushing him out. Come on.
There you go. That's right. Thank you, Joe. It's Joe Biden and I talking about Wilcox Center for America. Here comes the mailman, Sherry. Mailman, I came to buy now. There he is. Ooh.
I'm the mailman.
Got a hat on.
As you can see, I'm the mailman.
Got a hat on.
Nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. Yep.
To everyone who has wronged me, I despise you and I wish you a very painful destruction.
When she started that, do you think she knew where she was going to end that one? I don't think she did.
Because I think she was going to say death.
Yes.
But she didn't want to go there, so she just got to wish you a very painful
destruction.
Yeah, that was the better.
It's one of our fans. Choices. Thank you. Thank you, fans, writing in all the time. All right, we'll get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest. Sherry?
Okay, off topic, V in the 206 says, it's nice that Nate is listening to the show and can break in with random fun facts. And yet Jacob continues to wear his noise-canceling headphones.
Right. Go to Jacob. He's like, I don't know. And then you go over to Nate and you throw the ball to him. Yeah. Brian in 360, please use the Casey Kasem voice before introducing any music. Please and thank you. All right, we will next time. For you, Brian, we will. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Long Tom in Olympia says, John, please don't get a hat. It would be such a shame to cover up your own naturally growing hair.
Thank you. You know what, Long Tom in Olympia? Okay. 206, John, when you meet Kenny Chesney backstage, you suggest his next smash hit song should be something about headphones and hats. It won't be awkward at all. You can mention from your own experience that she thinks headphones are sexy. Oh, that's good. She thinks my headphones are sexy. That's like my tractor. Yep. Thinks my tractor sexy. Do you think tractors are sexy, Sherry?
Sure. Yeah, why not? I don't know.
You're not committed. Okay. You're not committed to that. You're not committed to that. All right, move on.
Doug in Mount Vernon says, what's the date of the show tune segment where Tom and John did a tribute to Sondheim? I really missed that one.
Joe, what the date was? It was the
December
1st of December.
1st, 2021.
Yes, 2021. My favorite song.
The day goes by.
It's so funny. I was on this train going over to the airport there in Atlanta. People hate show tunes. And I was listening to show tunes while everyone's like in the train. I was like, little do they know I'm listening to this song.
But you're somewhere part of my life.
I wish I knew the world.
And it looks
like, like you'll stay. Not a day. And Tom's favorite song. Oh, no, we don't have time for this?
Okay, hey, sneak it in.
What a
shame. Sneak it in.
Oh, no, Sherry. No, just for that, Tom's favorite Stephen Sondheim song. Hang on.
Marry me a little. Love me just enough. Warm and sweet and easy.
This drove him away. December 1st, 2021. Our lowest rated show. Distance.
so we'll both be free.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it ought to be.
Yes, marry me a little. Anyway. All right, now to regular music.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Thank you, Teeny. Great job. Great job. Sherry.
Okay, Cake Wars, Megan in the 925 says, hell yeah, she should have responded that way. There are some crazy customers out there that have done a lot worse, but when they push like that, you could only take so much, and people deserve respect. The lady trying to order the cake had zero respect for anyone, and how dumb are you to think that anybody can make a cake at 9 p.m. at night for 120 people tomorrow? There are really dumb people out there. She was definitely one of them.
What would I do on my own, putting thoughts of you aside?
Not the letter of the day, by the way. But
that's okay.
Oh,
sure.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, Teeny chooses the letter. Teeny chooses the letter, and then you ignore it.
I didn't scroll down far enough.
We're writing you up. We are writing you up. All right?
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry, Teeny. Oh, passive aggressive on that one. That's a new move. Teeny goes through all the letters, and you choose the letter of the day, according to Sherry.
Oh,
sorry, Teeny.
This.
I don't believe it either.
Get over it.
Every right to be angry. Every right.
Okay.
Woo, boy.
I'll make
Hell
you a cake
no
for
fury.
Tomorrow.
Hell has no fury like a woman in a pickle jar.